Good morning. Somebody has said that I am a nobody, that God made somebody that can tell the whole world about somebody that can save everybody. So I am just honored to be here this morning. I'm thankful to the leadership here for allowing me to stand before you this morning. Hopefully I will have something to say as we all endeavor to carry the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ, as we all strive to make heaven our home, and as we understand that we will not be able to do so without taking someone else with us. We're not going to heaven by ourselves. We're not going to be, I can't encourage myself. I can't truly fellowship with myself unless I fellowship with you. And so I'm thankful to God for your presence here this morning. I bring you greetings from the church that meets in Mountain Home. And a lot of times I hear folks say, you travel all the way from Mountain Home. I said, well, it's not that far away. I didn't, we come back and forth, and they said, well, you come all that way. I said, well, do you drive to Salt Lake? They said, yeah. Well, you drive past Mountain Home. and so I just tell folks, if you come down, we'll treat you well. Might even give you a bite to eat, who knows, or a glass of water at least. We're thankful for the invitation to be here this morning. I am excited about this particular subject that has been assigned to me. Hopefully, this morning together, we will be able to look at the pages of inspiration, be able to extract something that will help us along our way. We started off well last night. Hopefully this morning we will continue as we strive to get this witness out. I was assigned witness Jesus in the creation. And as I looked at it, I said, well, man, I'm not too bad. Rich really set me up really well. And then I began to look at it, really look at it. And I discovered that there are some things that maybe I missed over the years, and probably maybe you missed over the years. I don't know. Sometimes we take the word of God for granted. I read it a couple of times. I've seen it a couple of times. Therefore, I know it. But if you're like me, as I spoke on Wednesday night, I said, as we were speaking, I said, there are things that I have to go back over and over again to be, I don't consider myself the smartest man in the world, so therefore I go over things over and over just to make sure that I am on the right path. And so in John chapter 1, if you turn your Bibles or if you have your laptops or iPads or whatever you use, Rich asked me if I was going to use PowerPoint. I said I'd get enough PowerPoint at work. I'm good. With just some paper, and hopefully you all have the same thing, and we're going to look at this together. Isn't God good? He's good, isn't he? Sometimes we just don't say that. Sometimes we come into services sometime when we think, is it a funeral or are we having church? But anyway, I want to have church this morning. I don't want to be at a funeral. Funerals for folks out there in the graveyard. But anyway, in John chapter 1, and we'll begin our reading in verse number 1, we will conclude at verse number 14. Here the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life of the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, and that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John is not one of the synoptics, and we all know that. You read John. John really displays and puts on, a billboard the essence and the character of Jesus. And so when we look at this in the beginning, there are only two books in the Bible that begin in the beginning. We all know that one is Genesis and the other is John. Moses confirms creation in Genesis, and John confirms the Creator when he says Jesus was the Word, the power through whom God created the world. All things were made by him. And when we look at this verses 1 through 4, we see the Word is eternal. It has personality. It's deity. It's creating. It's animating. It's revealing. And then in verse number 14, we see that the Word is incarnate. I believe that John records an undeniable truth that this Word, Jesus, is the most powerful force in the universe. The passage said, in the beginning was the Word. And we know, and when you look at this, this word in the original language, it represented it really in that day wisdom, which was the soul and essence of all that existed. And then in the Hebrew culture, it referred to God, the thinker, and the omniscient genius behind the created universe. And so what does all that mean? Especially when we're sitting at grandma's table, as one preacher put it. As you're sitting around it, what does that mean? What does this logos mean? The only simplest thing that I found is that God is the active in creation, revelation, and redemption. And that's in Jesus Christ. Jesus not only gives God's words to us, but is God in word. John tells us here by the Spirit who Jesus is. John identifies who Jesus really is. And he says, in the beginning, which is a time element. Really, it has no meaning for an eternal God. So in Psalms chapter 90 and verses 1 and 2, I think it best describes the beginning. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, you gave birth to the earth and the world. Even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. The word everlasting, we see it means beyond the vanishing point. And so we can conclude from the beginning, or from John 1:1, that the word is eternal. If you go back to the beginning, the word was already there. If you go beyond the vanishing point, the word was already there. The word was God, meaning the word was and is and always will be God. It will always be God. If you start in the beginning, as we have as a time element, gone. If you go in the middle, if you start in the middle, it is gone. If you go to the end, it is gone. It would always be gone. It goes on to say, nothing was made without him. Nothing was made. Man says he developed something or creates something. He can't create anything without what God has already created. John goes on to help us identify in this verse, and in verse 14, that Jesus, the Word, is Christ. It became flesh. And then and last night we reread 1 John chapter 1 and verses 1 through that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon with and our hands have handled, the Word of life. We see Jesus. We see Jesus. Philippians 2 and 7 says he emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Jesus Christ continued to hold on to his divine attributes as being God. Jesus was 100% man and 100% God at the same time. Figure that one out. Jesus was 100% man and 100% God at the same time. I'm 100% man all the time, and I can barely get up in the morning sometimes and navigate my way through the day without him. But he took on both likenesses, or is both like at the same time. He is. Not that he was, but he is. God in the flesh came to do the will of the Father and give his life as a ransom for many. But we need to understand something this morning. Not only did Jesus create everything, Jesus sustains everything. It's one thing to create, but it's another thing to sustain. He does this. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 17, all things were created through him and for him, and him all things consist or contain. He keeps all things. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 3, the Bible says, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature and upholds the universe by the word of his power. There's that word again. By the word of his power, he holds everything. The word is something else. It is dynamic. It is. The earth moves at 68,000 miles per hour. 18 miles a second around the sun. Jesus sustains the earth. Air, 78% of it is nitrogen, 21% of it is oxygen, 1% of it is multiple other gases. Jesus sustains it. Our earth is tilted at a 23.5 meter angle. Jesus sustains it. The earth hangs in space and due to gravitational force, but gravitational force hangs on Jesus. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, but Jesus sustains us. He does. Nature has itself, has a hierarchy, but Jesus sustains nature. And so when we look at a society today as they try to disprove God, every time they try to disprove God, they prove God. Every time. Science, as one person says, is limited in that it does not grant absolute truth, but only yields degrees of probability or likelihood. Science observes the universe, records evidence, strives to draw conclusions about what has happened in the past and is happening now and what will potentially happen in the future. God is already there. He's already in the past. He's in the present. And he's in the future at the same time. The probability of the chance of formation of just one simple cell, given all the ingredients, is acknowledged to be, in the worst case, a one in a number of 57,800 zeros. How many zeros is that? It's a lot of zeros. Meaning that it would take about 11 pages in a magazine filled with zeros to represent that. Of one cell. Of one simple cell. Science proves that. And so when someone tells me that they're an atheist, I just turn around and laugh. There's no such thing as an atheist. The Bible disproves that. I think we need to stop trying to prove that there is a God. I don't think we have to prove that there is a God. You have to prove to me that there is no God. I had a young man come into my office the other day. He said, Mr. G, I don't know if I believe in God. And I just kind of chuckled to myself. The statement you just made, the statement you just uttered out of your mouth tells me that you believe in God. You wouldn't question it if you didn't believe in it. God has placed in man eternity. That's what the wise man said. He has placed in the heart of man eternity. It's within us. We know that there's a God. The atheist, or so-called atheist, has to try to convince himself that there is no God. I stopped trying to convince people that there is a God when they already believe that there is a God. So I don't have a problem with the atheist. You might have a problem with me, but I have no problem with him. But not only is Jesus the creator, not only is he the designer, not only does he sustain everything that we survey, but Jesus, his creation testifies and witnesses of him. Nature itself witnesses of Jesus Christ. In Psalms chapter 96 and verse number 1, the Bible says, it says, let the heavens rejoice, the earth be glad, and the seas roar with the fullness thereof. Even when Jesus died, when he was crucified, we read that the sun refused to shine and the earth shook and the rocks split apart. We see in Luke chapter 19 and verses 37 and following, it says, as soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice. Miracles which they had seen, shouting, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But Jesus answered and said, I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out. Jesus says that if you don't praise me, if you don't acknowledge me, if you don't witness to who I am, these stones whom I created will testify of me. What am I saying this morning? Everything testifies of Jesus. Everything witnesses of Jesus. Whether you want to or whether you like to or not, you do. See a person walking around, it's the testimony of Jesus Christ. Every time you see a person drive by, it's a testimony of Jesus Christ. Every time you get out of the bed in the morning, it's a testimony of Jesus Christ. You didn't get up because you were so good and great. It's by the grace of God. By the grace of God that we're here this morning, by the grace of God that we have anything this morning, is because he lives, and he lives. He lives in those who have decided to take on a faith in him. And so if we fail to witness Jesus as a creator sustainer, if we fail to witness to the power of God at work in our lives, if we fail to tell someone about the grace of God that has delivered us from sin, then Jesus witnessing of himself is of no effect. It's of no effect. Jesus, we knowing that the understanding that Jesus is the creator and sustainer of everything really is of no effect if we can't tell somebody about him. So if creation will praise the creator, why shouldn't we? As it's the highest act of creation, praise him and testify and give witness. That is the question this morning. Jesus, more than adequately defines himself as the creator and sustainer, and nature concurs. Everything concurs. It is the word that brought the universe into existence out of absolute nothingness. It is the word that all things continue to exist instead of lapsing into non-existence, and is ultimately is the word that makes us a new creature in Christ Jesus. It is. He is. Hopefully we can see that Jesus is not only the creator and sustainer of all, but he, the Word, is a central personality throughout the whole Bible. From Genesis to Exodus, to, not, to Genesis to Revelation, it's Jesus. When we see Jesus, and I don't know who wrote this, but when we see Jesus as the created God who walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, we see Jesus, the Word, when we read about the Passover lamb in Exodus, we see Jesus in the book of Numbers as a smitten rock, and we see Jesus in Joshua as the captain of the Lord of hosts. We see Jesus in Ruth as the redeemer. We see Jesus in Esther as the advocate for his people. We see Jesus in Job as the ever-living redeemer. We see Jesus in Psalms as that good shepherd. We see Jesus in the Song of Solomon as a long-awaited beloved bridegroom. We see Jesus in Isaiah as a suffering servant. We see Jesus in Daniel as a son of man. We see Jesus in Hosea as the redeeming husband and fallen wife. We see Jesus in Jonah as the resurrection. See Jesus in Haggai as a desire of nations, and we see Jesus in Malachi as a son of righteousness. We see him, our Savior and Lord, in every page of Scripture. We see Jesus. We see him. Jesus created this entire universe because Jesus is before all things. Jesus is before and is all things. And since Jesus is this sustainer, Jesus is this creator, Jesus is a designer. Jesus, nature acknowledges that Jesus is. He knows how to order our lives. Since he is, Jesus knows how to fix our problems. We can trust Jesus with our issues. How many folks have issues? You say you don't have any issues. You come on, walk on down here right now. We all have issues. We all have problems. That's why all of this has been given to us. These words have been given to us. John, through the Spirit, gives us a glimpse of Jesus in the creation. John wasn't there, but through the Spirit of God, he is able to write these God-breathed words, and we're able to read them, and we're able to take these things in and make them hopefully a part of our lives or our lives. We're able to see these things. Why? Because I am says so. It is I am that allows us to exist. It is I am that gives us a reason for getting up in the morning. When Moses was there before the bush, and he was asking Moses, who shall I say sent me? He said, tell him I am sent you. Well, what does that mean? We're back around grandma's table again. What does that mean? It means I will become whatsoever I may become. Well, what does that mean? It means that I'll become whatever you need me to become. You need me to be a liberator, Moses? I'll do that. You need to be me to be salvation at the Red Sea? I'll part the Red Sea, and guess what? I'll allow you to drive to walk across that riverbed. If you need food, I'll be that manna from heaven. I'll be whatever you need me to be. I am God, the Father of Abraham. I am the Lord your God who rescued from you from the land of Egypt. I am merciful. I am the Lord who heals you. I am the God who is near, and says the Lord, and I am the God who is not far away. I am the Lord. If I say it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I am the Lord, and I do not change. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the one who lives, and I was dead, but I am alive forever and ever. I am. I love that. I am. Doesn't matter what's going on in my life. He can become whatever I need him to become. Jesus, understand this morning, Jesus does not want us to know about him. He wants us to know him. See, a lot of times we're reading this Bible, and we're reading this compilation of books, and we're taking out facts. Well, Jesus is the Word. And the Word became flesh, and we're able to say, well, I understand, I get that, but Jesus just wants you to know that. These things are given that we might know Him. He wants a relationship with His creation. That's what Genesis to Revelation is all about. God trying to redeem man, His creation, to Himself. But then, as our dear brother said last night, the creation didn't want Him. But He still loved us enough to say that even if they don't want me, even if they reject me, I'm still going to give myself for them. All that has been revealed to us is for our faith, to strengthen us so that we can praise Him as a creator and sustainer of all. That's why He did it. He wants to have a relationship with us. That's why these things are written. That's why we understand and that He has given to us. And He's saying that if I can do these things, if you believe these things, then you can believe on me to have that abundant life. I want peace and I want joy and I want happiness and I want security. I want all of those things. He said, I can give you those things, but you have to have a relationship with me. Most folks want that with no relationship. Most folks want all of those. All the folks that we see at the malls and at Walmart and all the other, they all want peace and joy and tranquility, all of those things that we find, those spiritual blessings that we find in Christ Jesus. And that's why we have to be a witness for that. We are God's witnesses of Him. That's what we are. I know some other folks use that. I know we kind of laugh, but we are God's witnesses of Him. If the Word's going to get out, if we're going to seek and save that which is lost, we're going to have to tell folks about a risen Savior. We're going to have to tell some folks about somebody who can save everybody. We're going to have to tell some folks not just that Jesus got up on the third day and overcame death, hell, and the grave, but what has He done in my life? How has He changed my life? Not somebody else's life, but how has He changed my life? And if we can't tell folks about how Jesus changed my life, then we stand a far distance from Him. This particular series of lessons, this lectureship is about spiritual growth, not about just learning some facts. It's about us deciding to take on the mantle that has been given to us. And we do that by witnessing of the King Himself, that He is the Creator, that He is the Sustainer, He is a designer, and His creation acknowledges that. But not only that, we need to make some noise within ourselves about this risen Savior. Because when you've seen Jesus do some things, you're gonna make some noise. When you have seen Jesus do some things, people around you can't make you be quiet. When you have seen the Lord do some things in your life and the lives of others, no self-appointed praise police can make you sit down. When you'll stand up and say, you don't know the Lord like I know Him. I believe that there are some people today here in the audience that can say that they've seen God, they've seen Jesus do some things. There are some people here today who can shout hallelujah because they've seen Jesus do some things. There are some people here today who can cry Hosanna because they've seen Jesus do some things. There are some people who can declare to you, thank you, Jesus, because they've seen Jesus do some things. A few years ago, my father took ill. Right before I retired from the military. And he had brain bleeds. But before that, my father and I used to have some knockdown dragouts about the church. I mean, he said some things. He said some things. I'm talking about saying some things, using some words that, you know, we use sometimes maybe. When we get, you know, somebody steps on our foot, we hit our finger with a hammer. You know, we don't need to act like Jesus has been on our laps all of our lives. We say things. And so, and so as we go on, he got sick, and he was still kind of, don't give me that God stuff. Don't give me that Jesus stuff. But that last episode, brain bleed, it put him down, and he knew he was down. Couldn't come back up here and stay with me anymore. And so he just says, Vince, I want to be baptized. That's a few years ago. I still choke up to that. And do you not know that he couldn't walk anymore? He couldn't take care of himself anymore. I got some brothers to come, and they picked him up. Took him to the church house, baptized him. 2 weeks later, he died. So don't tell me that Jesus can't do some things. Don't tell me that Jesus can't change the hearts of men. Don't tell me that person will never obey the God. Don't tell me that, because I've seen it work. I've seen him work. I've seen Jesus work. And that's why I believe that Jesus can make a way out of no ways, that he can unlock doors, he can put water in dry places, he can make children behave, he can bring husbands and wives back, he can cure cancer, cause diabetes to disappear, lower blood pressure, ease arthritis, cures of rheumatism, be a doctor in the sick room, a lawyer in the courtroom, a bridge over troubled water, a light in dark places, a bomb in Gilead. Jesus can. Because Jesus is. It's because of what he is that he can. What is he? He is the creator. He is the sustainer. That's what he is. What can God do? He can do everything. What can't God do? What can't Jesus do? He can't fail. It's impossible for God, for Jesus, to fail. Anybody in here that good? Anybody in here that good? That you can't fail? Everything with Jesus is perfection. This world that we live on is perfect. The only thing that makes it imperfect is man. I'm not getting into global warming or anything like that. This is not a political statement or anything like that. I believe that the earth is warming up. It is. You know why it's warming up? Because it's dying. It's not going to be here always. And we're just speeding it up. That's all we do. We're just speeding up the process. So I don't worry about that, because God is in control. Since Jesus is the creator and sustainer of the whole universe, he knows how to order our lives. He knows how to fix our problems. And you and I can trust him with our problems. You know, in John chapter 14, in chapter 13, Jesus tells him that he's going to go away, and he knows their feelings. He knows how they are and how they are. They're just beside themselves. And they say, well, who's going to keep us? And then Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Were not so, I would have told you. See, but I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Philip says, Lord, we just don't know. But he says, Philip, I'm paraphrasing that. He said, Philip, I'm not going to let you get away with that. He said, I am the way. There's that word again, I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Jesus is. Jesus is. What is he? He is the creator. He is a sustainer. His creation acknowledges that. We need to acknowledge that. And because of that, he can do anything that we need him to do in our lives. May God keep us, continue to bless us, if we strive to make heaven our home.